Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, March 20th. A proposal to make it easier for victims of stalking and sexual violence to break their leases is making its way through the State House. As Benta Berkland reports, it would expand an existing law.
Colorado already lets victims of domestic violence get out of their leases, no matter how much time is left. Republican Senator John Cook of Greeley is one of the main sponsors of a bipartisan bill that would extend that law to include victims of stalking and unlawful sexual behavior.
It allows them to get out of that situation where the stalker can't follow them anymore. You know, a lot of sexual assault victims are victims of people they know. Relatives, friends, and so in order to get out of that situation, they want to be able to move. The landlord is not allowed to release their new address.
The measure does require someone to file a police report within 2 months of the incident or show a landlord a restraining order or medical records. They would also have to pay up to 1 month's rent. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The latest economic forecast shows state lawmakers will need to close a budget gap that's grown to several hundred million dollars this session. Benta Berkland has more.
Nonpartisan legislative economists say Colorado's urban core is healthy and that the oil and gas industry has slightly rebounded. But overall, the economic growth is not enough to keep pace with some of the state's expenses in health care, education, and other programs.
The gap just became bigger, making it even more difficult for us to present a budget that's in balance that the people of Colorado need.
That's Joint Budget Committee member Representative Millie Hamner of Dillon, a Democrat. Her Republican colleague, Representative Bob Rankin of Carbondale, says filling the budget gap will require tough decisions.
What do we do with marijuana money? How much severance taxes do we use? Do we do something with our senior property tax exemption? How much of the reserves do we use?
Among lawmakers expect to dip into Colorado's reserves, that makes Republican Senator Kevin Lumberg of Berthoud, the newest member of the committee, nervous.
When we're looking at shortfalls that we've got to wrestle with still, I do find it ironic that we carry ourselves to the bleeding edge every year.
Balancing the budget is the only thing that's required of lawmakers during their annual legislative session, which ends in May. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And in a follow-up to that story, Colorado's latest revenue forecast shows that state lawmakers will have to fill a larger budget gap than anticipated. In our weekly Capitol conversation, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about what this could mean for the budget and transportation funding, one of the other major priorities lawmakers hope to address in the final part of the legislative session.
I'm here with Kristen Wyatt, a reporter with the Associated Press, and Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. Peter, we had a budget shortfall going into this session. It's widened. What are the figures showing?
Yeah, so the quarterly revenue forecast, the one that lawmakers will base their budget writing off of, so this is the big one. They did not get the luck of the Irish St. Paddy's Day message that they were looking for. It looks like it's about, could be as much as $200 million more to fill that shortfall than they were thinking. They were operating under the premise that it was going to be about $500 to $600 million shortfall. It looks like we're going to be closer to $700 million, according to the governor's office take on what the projections will look like. They're going to have some really tough decisions ahead of them. From what I've been hearing, some of the magic tricks that they had been using in years past to come up with this money, with Senator Pat Steadman being on the Joint Budget Committee, somehow always came up with these things. They have not been finding those same rabbits in the hat this year.
Pat Steadman is term limited, so he's not on the budget committee. Another big budgetary related item will be heard in committee in the next few days. It's a broad bipartisan transportation funding measure that would go to voters in the fall. Kristen, do you think this budget shortfall may play into that debate?
Absolutely. In a way, this could help that measure. This is a big funding bill coming through the House for its first review Wednesday. When times are bad, this can be an easier time. There are Republicans who are going to oppose this bill because it it hikes sales taxes. However, it's genuine among many Republicans to say, we don't oppose all tax increases. We oppose increasing taxes without asking voters. So this could actually help that bill pass to say, look, we've got needs here. We know we've got roads that are a mess. You have even leading Republicans saying, I hate the roads. I drive over. I've ruined all my trucks on these terrible roads. And maybe this revenue forecast picture that we're, that times are not as good as some hope could help pass that bill.
How does what's happening federally with proposed budgets impact the state?
Yeah, so that's the best part about this whole thing is that they could go through the trouble, come up with the money that they need to balance this budget, pass it after all the debate and all the work, and then find out that the federal government, that the budget is going to strip Medicaid money or any other number of things. And then all of a sudden our budget is in flux again, and the governor could be potentially looking to call a special session over the summer, have lawmakers come back and figure out a way how to balance it.
Nobody ever wants to come back for a special session, but if the U.S. House and the Congress pass a bill that strips Medicaid immediately instead of waiting till 2020, we will have no choice. We'll have to be back here at the Capitol this year.
It will be tricky when we have a split legislature. We are a state that has the Medicaid expansion. Governor Hickenlooper and Democrats have said in no way do they plan to roll that back, but we do have to get something through a Republican Senate, and it's unclear how they'd feel.
The only thing Republicans and Democrats agree about here seems to be that we cannot on our own afford to expand Medicaid availability to more folks. That means we'd have to get rid of it. Unfortunately, our Medicaid eligibility is a law. It's in statute. So we can't do it without the legislature coming back. So if any big changes happen to Medicaid, everybody has to come back to Denver to fix that.
Thanks. That was Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press, Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capital Conversation.
And finally, Eckert Crane Days end today. Birdwatchers have been enjoying the annual migration of sandhill cranes as they fly from Mexico through the western slope and then on to Idaho. The best place to watch the birds is at Fruit Growers Reservoir, east of Eckert on the south side of Grand Mesa. According to EckertCraneDays.com, in the spring, sandhill cranes tend to land at the reservoir after 3:30 p.m. and may land as late as sunset. Liftoff generally occurs at 9 a.m. Evelyn Horn and Jim Wallace conducted a daily count of the cranes for the website. The high point came on March 15th, when over 2,300 birds were estimated to be at the reservoir, and then on March 16th, some 550 birds were sighted. On March 17th, more than 800 cranes were counted. On March 18th, there were 100 birds counted. And yesterday, approximately 1,100 sandhill cranes were sighted. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.